This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Beth Newell and Sarah Pappalardo are writers and the founders of the humor site called Reductress. Their sweet spot is to parody the magazines that offer women crash diets and amazing sex tips. And many of their editorials accuse women of making unreasonable demands for equality or even basic respect. Here's an example. This is from a piece that ran in Reductress on October 18th, 2017.
As allegations against Harvey Weinstein have mounted in the past week, the public has become outraged at the blatant abuse of power against women. But this angry reaction begs an important question. Has PC culture gone too far now that one rapist is being held accountable? I live in America because of the freedom, specifically the freedom to do anything to a marginalized population without consequence or punishment. Seeing one powerful man get punished for his alleged abuse of hundreds of women is a threat to that. And the thing about PC culture is that it's a slippery slope. It starts with women asking for basic respect and human empathy, but where does it stop?
That's from Reductress, a piece called Has PC Culture Gone Too Far Now That One Rapist Is Being Held Accountable? Beth Newell and Sarah Pappalardo, the founders of Reductress, sat down last April with The New Yorker's cartoon editor, Emma Allen.
I've seen Reductress described in a lot of places as the feminist onion, as a sort of probably sloppy shorthand. And I was wondering if also as a way to sort of describe what it is you guys do, you could say what's right about that and what's wrong about that.
So what's right about it is that, like, we personally are feminists. The content can feel feminist because that's what informs our worldview and, like, why we exist and what we do. So,
yeah. Also, it seems like anytime women do comedy with any sort of female bent or just reflecting their own identity as women or experiences, people like to call it feminist regardless of what they're doing. We are feminists, but it's like sometimes it just feels like you're saying that because we're women.
Right.
And it's like The Onion, because as The Onion satirizes sort of newspapers, this started pretty specifically as something that satirized sort of women's magazines.
Well, a big thing early on for us, I think, was that there was this trend of empowering women's media and this empowering tone in women's media that was still being used to sell things to women and prey on their insecurities.
Yeah, like, you know, an ad campaign using all differently sized women in order to sell firming lotion and just kind of these gaping contradictions in messaging that were constantly happening.
Yeah, always like all these elaborate tricks to please your man and like no mention of your own pleasure whatsoever. Meanwhile, like, men are incredibly easy to please sexually. Like, why were we given all these directives?
So much wasted ice. So then you guys sort of over time have expanded the world of sort of mommy blogs and, like, other women-centric internet spaces. I feel like there's this whole sort of rah-rah sisterhood type of feminism that turns very quickly when you don't agree with the very specific opinions of the people in the group.
Yeah. I think a lot of women think that they're pro-women when they're actually just pro their very specific needs as a woman. I think it's also part of our own internalized sexism, even, like, the most feminist among us. Like, if a famous man screws up, we're like, oh, but, you know, he was really good on Cheers or something. You know, like, we're like, we can view it in context. But when a woman does it, we're always like, she's not feminist. Screw her. Like, I'm done with her. And, like, burning her books and everything. It's like, we just can't understand that women are flawed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one thing in the sort of world of satire post-Trump is this crazy conflation of fake news and satire and confusion about the distinction between fake news and satire. And I thought it was interesting because one of your slogans is the one and only fake women's news magazine. And have you guys had any sort of like weird, confused backlash?
Yeah, we definitely had some people who thought our pieces were real. One was before the election. If Trump wins, I'm moving to Alaska. And somebody wrote, I think, like a 6,000-word think piece about why Alaska's in this country, I guess.
all these words just to say Alaska is in the United States.
Yeah, yeah. So people get pretty riled up.
Yeah, I got an email from someone that was like, your piece about Beyonce being a member of the Illuminati, I'm trying to source this, and if you could provide me with the clips, and like very studious about it.
But to put that into context, we also get emails asking for cited sources for headlines like, we asked these 10 women how they found success, and most of them said pretend to be a horse. Yeah.
We'll get, like, angry tweets online that are like, you're fake news, and then you click on the people's profiles, and they're just, like, the most openly sexist, racist people. So you're like, yeah, I'm okay with that criticism.
So in the whole realm of clickbait versus real news, are you aspiring with your satire to, like, lead people toward the more complicated ideas? Or is it, like, satire can also just exist as diversion?
It's a mix of both. I think in a perfect world, our goal is to try to, like, lead people to the truth and be sort of ethical about our satire, in a sense. That said, I think we all need diversion at a certain point. And it's been an exhausting year for satirists like us, I think. It's work, you know? And so sometimes we just have to blow off some steam and make a dumb poop joke.
Well, I mean, also, like, satire historically, getting people to laugh at a thing before you get people to look at the deeper stagnating issues is a pretty good in.
Yeah, especially because a lot of what we write asks the reader to kind of look within themselves and the things that they do. Humor is a really important way to kind of break that wall and get in.
Love being criticized.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when it's done best, I think it's done with at least a small element of love.
Mm-hmm.
The New Yorker's Emma Allen talking with Sarah Pappalardo and Beth Newell of the satire website Reductress. You can find more of their work at newyorkerradio.org.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.